There followed an appeal to the people of continuing with the autobiography of W.E.B. Du Bois and his indictment as a criminal. There followed an appeal to the people of the United States by lecture trips undertaken by myself and my wife, Shirley Graham. We wished to meet the blackout in the press by explaining our case and to collect funds for our legal expenses. We started out in the spring in June. Our plan was for Shirley to speak first and explain the case. Then came the collection, then I spoke. And this is an excerpt from his speech. Why is it, with the earth's abundance and our mastery of natural forces and miraculous technique, with our commerce belting the earth and goods and services pouring from our stores, factories, ships, and warehouses, why is it that nevertheless most human beings are starving to death, dying of preventable diseases, and too ignorant to know what is the matter, while a small minority are so rich that they cannot spend their income? That is the problem which faces the world. There is no way in the world for us to preserve the ideals of a democratic America save by drastically curbing the present power of concentrated wealth, by assuming ownership of some natural resources, by administering many of our key industries, and by socializing our services for public welfare. Either in some way or to some degree, we socialize our economy, restore the New Deal, and inaugurate the welfare state, or we descend into military fascism, which will kill all dreams of democracy, of the abolition of poverty, disease, and ignorance, or of peace instead of war. Unquote from his speech in 1950. Could there be a clearer assessment of the dilemma, of the situation, of the choice before us? And yet here we sit 65 years later. 65 years later, and no further along in the vision, and for how to get there. So while the solution advanced on the left for the problem of the commodification of life, an abomination if we had given time to think about it, i.e., that solution to make the state socialist, that solution put forward by its most progressive voices hasn't advanced from this clear articulation. While power's physical repression means, have grown exponentially. But while those means have grown, they can never outstrip the power of the symphony of our resistance, expressed in our absorption of Karl Popper, Alice Miller, Miklos Niemcy, Bentham, Hopkins and Wallerstein, Martin Bernal, and Nikola Tesla. With their help, we are granting ourselves the room we need, psychically and materially, to grow as a species.